This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
RC calls a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. Is that a high school, RC?
No, sir. We don't really describe it as a high school as much as we do a preparatory military academy, but it does cover grades 9 through 12, which are commensurate with the high school grades, yeah.
All right. Now, you want and you have a petition with other cadets to eliminate basketball from the curriculum at Bradley Military Academy, with particular attention paid to the fact that you don't think it trains cadets for ultimate service in the military and defense of the United States.
Well, this really started after the revelations about Allen Iverson and most recently Jason Williams, and also it started when I was talking with some other cadets about how basketball is not perceived by a lot of the cadets as the most masculine sport as some others.
And well, what do you mean by masculine?
Well, really, what we're talking about is mental and physical toughness. Basketball is a soft sport, and as a military cadet, training to defend my country is a manner that will most likely require, you know, great physicality. And basketball is really gay. It's running and jumping and bouncing a ball, and it's...
Well, if I could jump in, when you say it's gay, it's not very descriptive, okay?
Well, what I mean is, it's just running and jumping, and it's not anything you'd be proud to say you did. If you're, for instance, in Iraq, and you have just gotten in country, and you're assigned to your unit, and you're ready to go and, you know, as a lot of us like to say, you're ready to go out into the bad bush and start some trouble, you don't really necessarily want to say, oh, yeah, I played basketball.
All right, now, I don't know what that term, you know, when you say it's not masculine.
But what I'm trying to say is kids in this country have been embarrassed long enough.
So that's what I was getting. Are you saying that it's an embarrassing sport as a cadet, and nothing that is taken seriously?
Where you leap and run, yeah.
Now, you approached the athletic director there, Captain Campbell?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
To replace basketball?
Yes, sir.
How did that come about?
In light of the disgraceful behavior of basketball players, in light of the fact that basketball is not really perceived as a very masculine sport, we asked that during the off-football months at Bradley Military Academy, and... By the way, we would certainly be willing to go off campus and speak to other campus groups about eliminating basketball from the program. We asked if we could be allowed to organize and have the school sponsor an ice hockey squad to represent our school regionally.
All right, so you feel ice hockey better helps you tune that part of your body and mind, which you say you need for soldiering. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Explain that.
Well, hockey is simply more aggressive. The players are tougher physically. I don't know if you saw the news of a couple of hockey players what got into a fight on the ice in Vancouver, Canada. One of them got their neck broken. Now, for all of the fights I've seen in basketball, you really never heard of one man breaking another man's neck with one punch. And I deplore unprovoked violence, but also I've got to, you know, I could go either way on it. Admire the mental toughness and the coaching that goes into executing a sport such as that. I think hockey...
In other words, it's an admirable sport, one that can teach you how to, with one punch, break a man's neck.
Again, you need to understand what it is I'm training my life and my body for, and that is to defend my country. And for those who don't really understand what it is to be a soldier, what we ask with the greatest of respect is just get out of our way and let us do our job. And to force us into less than masculine pursuits, which is gay and which we don't think reflects the best of the military academy. I think hockey is far better, prepares the American soldier, whether he be Marine, Army, Navy, or Air, than this game of basketball, which is embarrassing. And
well, you describe basketball as a game that's simply of leaping and jumping and running around. Isn't it also a game that is one of hand-eye coordination?
Well, you know, I get all the hand-eye coordination training I need on a firing range. They leap and they bounce a ball. And I frankly can watch my little sister and her friends do that, because my little sister and her friends leap and bounce balls, and they leap around when they play tetherball or what have you.
All right, R.C. Collins is a... And what grade are you in?
I'm a J2, which is akin to a junior in high school.
All right, you are a junior, and you are a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. The number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Really, what we're talking about here is just whether basketball is as masculine a sport as hockey, right?
Well, it really is not so much that debate as we don't want to be forced to continue to be seen playing a non-masculine sport like basketball.
What is it about hockey that you admire, other than the fact that you can punch a guy and break his neck with one punch? Is there anything in hockey that is going to help you be a soldier, a better soldier than basketball? Because violence in hockey, the fist fighting in hockey, is something they're trying to get rid of.
Well, yes, sir. There is the inevitability, though, of heavy physical contact by primarily white people. And while there are a great many black soldiers in the military, of the officers are primarily white.
Well, I don't understand what race is, but the American soldier is a well-trained soldier. He's not lacking, it would seem, for anything in the masculinity department.
Well, now, Mr. Hendry, I'm second to none in my admiration for the American fighting man or woman. But right now in Iraq, we're getting a pretty good black eye. And a lot of the cadets that I'm talking to now are getting pretty, P.O.'d about it. And we want to do something.
I wouldn't agree that we're getting a black eye, but even if we were, you'd think, you think it's because as a country we play basketball instead of hockey? I mean, this has got more to do with alliances.
No, sir, I'm simply saying concentrating on playing a sport that emphasizes more direct physical contact, mental stamina, and doesn't have, for players, a lot of lowlifes. I'm sorry, I'm bitterly sorry that it took the Canadians to show us the way, and that hurts more than anything. I'm a soldier. I adapt and I overcome, but I gotta speaking up instead of not, I think, can save a lot of lives.
R.C. Collins, he is a junior at Bradley Military Academy. The Canadians have had to show us the way, huh?
Yes, sir.
With hockey?
Yes, sir, because of the fact that I don't think we're getting the kind of toughness we need.
All right, R.C., one of the things about basketball, you mentioned that we got a lot of hooligans in that game, and there's probably a lot of hooligans in hockey for all I know. I mean, I don't know how many guys have been caught and how many guys haven't, it, whatever it is they're doing. It is a physical sport, you're right about that. Basketball, on the other hand, has been practiced by a great many great Americans, but played by a great many great Americans. We got Rhodes Scholars.
Well, with all due respect, that's not being a soldier in Iraq. And also,
no, but I know it's not being a soldier in Iraq, but I mean, we're talking about Bill Bradley, played for the New York Knicks, went on to be a U.S. Senator. He's an Oxford scholar himself. We're talking about a great many men who have gone on to great achievement.
And a lot of them, probably most of them have not, well, I don't want to say most of them because I don't know, but a lot of them have gone to prison. And you don't see hockey players go to prison. Yes, they do be criminal, and there's a lot that is criminal, but most hockey players don't go to prison the way basketball players do. As a fighting man in the United States military, I must, and I think I need to emphasize this, I must be a man of exemplary character, and it cannot happen while I'm playing a hooligan sport that tolerates lowlifes and scumbags, and also is, in my opinion, you leap and you run like you're a girl in it, and that's why hockey, we think at least we can spend our months in the off football months pursuing a sport that I think is more deserving of the American military cadet.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show as we speak with R.C. Collins about basketball being eliminated. And the other thing he said to Janice is that he wants to, if possible, speak to other school groups about getting rid of basketball on their campuses as well. Is this a trend? Is basketball really not the masculine sport that we think it is? Does it simply appeal to hooligans and lowlifes? And on top of everything else, Does there have something, he mentioned something having to do with race here now that I mention. He says that primarily white people play hockey. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the triumph of intelligence over ignorance. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with a military cadet, R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. It's located in Altadena, California, about what he has described in a couple of print interviews as the feminizing influence of basketball on our military. Now, you are playing basketball currently at Bradley, correct?
Yes, sir, we are.
And you are saying that it is, and we're going to get to some phone calls, but you are saying that that kind of feminizing influence cannot help you in the theater of war.
What I would say and what we propose to Captain Campbell, who's our dean of athletics, is that you don't see in the fighting man or woman the beanpole type person you see in basketball. Okay, when's the last time you saw a 7 foot, you know, minute ball looking dude, you know, rushing a machine gun nest of skinnies or ragheads? Never. That's because you can't, there's no way that could ever be. But hockey has the physical type and physicality that is most consistent with the American fighting man. And also, we have got to stop sending men over to Iraq with this feminine type of background, or we're going to continue to be filling body bags.
I don't mean to condescend, but you're very young, son. You're how old?
Well, with all due respect, Mr. Henry, you can take son and, you know...
All right. Now, let's not be angry at each other.
Well, I prefer not to be called son.
All right, sir. You are how old?
Yes, sir. I'm 16 years old.
All right. You speak with a certain cavalier manner when you're talking about filling body bags.
Well, you know, I don't know what you know about it, but I, you know... I'm ready to eat my own guts. That's how much I'm ready to go to war for the America.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Suzanne. Suzanne, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins of Bradley Military Academy.
Hey, I just want to say to R.C., the reason basketball is a good sport is because it teaches teamwork. My husband has got back into the
Iraq. Can I interrupt you? I was not aware I'd be speaking to... Any women?
Well, these are callers of mine.
Okay, I'm also an Army veteran.
It's funny how you just pulled that out right now.
Basketball teaches teamwork, which is what the military needs
and aspires to.
Yes, you do have to talk to her. She's a caller of mine.
Hockey, the Army doesn't, the military, not just the Army, but the military
doesn't want...
The attitude or the aggressiveness that hockey teaches you.
Well,
basketball,
ma'am,
basketball is a very demanding sport.
Well, ma'am, very demanding sport. Hopscotch, I'm sure, was very demanding. If you look back on your past, you could say, you know, you were sweating up a storm when you did it. But compared to other sports, it's not. And again, when's the last time you've seen some beanpole-looking mother, you know, in uniform? You don't. See?
About two weeks ago, because I've been on vacation.
Well, you don't see no 7 foot beanpole in uniform.
Yes, you do.
Some of those Special Forces guys are huge.
They're not
very tall.
They're not 7'4" and all minute ball and everything.
As a matter of fact, they are. I served with a guy who was 6'9".
Again, you've got me on the phone with a female.
And she's an Army...
Pardon me, but what's wrong with a female?
No comment.
You're insulting a whole class of people.
No comment, ma'am. I don't mean to insult you, ma'am, but let's face it...
No, you're not insulting me. You're insulting America.
Let's face it. When it's time to go off and make some trouble, they always send in the swinging...
Let's watch our language, too.
I apologize, sir.
No, they don't always send in. Do you know how many females we've lost?
Two?
What do you mean, two?
I'm just guessing.
No. I don't know the exact number.
It's probably two or three.
Please.
Well, the one that we lost, she got a flat tire or something, and that killed everybody. And then another one, she, what? Was, I don't know what she was doing, like getting her hair done or something. And
come on, don't be insulting, man. You know,
well, was it in a theater of combat, or were they...
Well, some of them were driving supplies and were hit by, guerrilla forces.
All right, four.
Four?
I can't give you an exact number, but it's more than that. We've had...
All right, All right, Suzanne.
Ma'am, I'm sure you did very well for our country by making sure the generals have a lot of butter for their rice, but what I'm trying to say is...
What do you mean, butter?
I wasn't a cook. I held a top secret clearance.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Suzanne, thank you very much for your call. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for
your
service
show.
To our country. 1-800-449-8686. Lou, go ahead. You're on with R.C. Collins.
R.C., man, you have got to be kidding me. What are you, 5'9", 160 pounds? You got to be scared to get into the paint with someone 6'5", 240.
Oh, yeah? What about standing in the crease with a dude... Who's got skates on that are sharpened up, razor sharp, okay?
Your physical attributes?
You got to be a girl to play that game.
Listen to you. You have sit here and called out that sport as gay.
It is gay.
Listen to your voice, bro. You have yet to hit puberty, yet to see the right side of life. Let me tell you a little something about
physicality. I will not go to Iraq and fight for my...
Sorry, you're not fighting this. Man, you have not yet begun... any part of your life to understand the physicality and the mental toughness, not to mention the teamwork. And isn't that what you're all about? Don't you have a team of men working with you?
Of course, of course.
Okay,
there's only one thing you can't work hand in hand with someone? Well, sure, but how about if I work hand in hand with somebody who is in a sport where you need to have some swing and you know what to play it?
Hey, let me tell you a little something about swinging. You know what, man? I grew up a wrestler. I wrestled for Team USA for four and a half years.
If you want a game
other than your football, let me tell you something. Grab a hold of a wrestler and see what kind of a man you really are.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to grab
some guy. You'll walk out of there with two black eyes and a broken leg, little boy.
Wait a second. Are you telling me I'm going to grab some guy oiled up and roll around with him? You're kidding. Are you kidding?
What? So you lose your gun. You got to fight somebody hand-to-hand. This guy, this towelhead, as you call him, is going to sit there and whip your little A. Man, you cannot handle yourself in some kind of hand-to-hand.
Are you trying
to tell me? Some guy 6'7", 240, is going to treat you like his little girl inside the paint.
Are you trying to tell me?
If there's a game, if there is an absolute game that you have to be physically tough, mentally tough, and in great shape to run up and down those courts, it is basketball. My father played college basketball, and he'd wear you out like a little girl.
You got to have it too. And to be oiled up wrestling with another man.
Oiled up? Where did you get your gay porn?
Well, wait a second. That's probably against the Bible.
Is that what you have to look at? I mean, I realize you have
Let me jump in.
Gay porn is out of it.
Let me jump in, guys. Lou's talking about an Olympic sport. He's talking about a sport that is in high schools and colleges across America. He makes a very good point about...
It's the oldest sport in the world.
Yeah, wrestling's probably against the Bible, for all I know.
Are you kidding me? It's in the Bible, you moron.
Yeah, well,
what kind of education do you have?
So is Gomorrah and Sodom is in the Bible, too, but you're not supposed to do it.
Man, you got to be kidding me.
This guy's high. He's freaking high.
No, sir, I'm not high, and I resent that implication of the American...
You must be.
All right.
You absolutely must be.
All right, Lou.
If you don't think hand-to-hand combat comes down to wrestling...
Well, guys that wear leotards...
All right. Lou, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with R.C. Collins.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm with R.C. Collins. He's a, what he calls a J2 junior at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. They have asked that basketball be replaced on their curriculum with ice hockey in the off football months. He says that basketball and other cadets feel that basketball is a feminizing sport, a sport that, frankly, weakens you, and that in order for us to win in Iraq and to maintain a military edge, the game itself of basketball is overrated. Are you working out right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
You're in the school gym?
We're the upperclassmen gymnasium, yes, sir.
And you lift weights, I take it?
Yeah, you might say so, yeah.
Are you built? Are you ripped?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so obviously your physical shape, especially with the big muscles like that, would probably be better suited for hockey, right?
Well, I'm not saying that I can't play basketball. I have played basketball. It is an interesting sport. It's a little too easy to throw guys around in that sport. I think that once you get the hang of it, that it's some guy who thinks he's, you know, Metal Lark Lemon coming down the court on you, going to pull up for a jumper. I mean, it's pretty easy. Hockey, on the other hand, I think, is not so feminizing. There's not as much leaping around and everything, and things that will be embarrassing for you.
All right, let's go to a phone call here. 1-800-449-8686. Wendell, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, where in the world did you, where'd you come from? Where in the world did you get that there's kooks and freaks and jail people in the basketball? Man, you need to get alive. You need to get alive. I played football. I played basketball. Played baseball in high school. I'm an ex-Army paratrooper.
Yeah, which sport
and
did you lose your teeth?
All this training and physical activities that I went through in high school and all practically all through my life. I mean, you're far out. You're way
okay,
out.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Going to the military academy,
you lost your teeth playing a sport probably
like,
other
like
than basketball.
You're driving,
all right,
you're
hold
driving
on for
people crazy.
Hold on, we got to get. What did you want to say, RC?
Well, first of all, this guy lost his teeth playing some sport. I bet you wasn't basketball. What was it?
I didn't hear you.
I said, I'll bet you anything you lost your teeth playing a sport, and it wasn't basketball. Which sport was it?
Well, I didn't lose no teeth. I didn't lose nothing.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
you're sucking on your gums right now. I can hear the intake of saliva and air.
Oh, you're way out.
I'm way out. You're the guy that wants to leap. You want to leap around.
You're so far out. I bet them other cadets there in that school that you're supposed to be attending. Oh, they laugh at you all day long and half the
night.
Well,
sir, I can tell you
you're out in left field somewhere.
We petitioned our dean of athletics. You know what? I'll bet you could suck on a steak bone for supper, couldn't you?
All right, what's this going to turn into now? Insult City?
Well, his name's Wendell. No wonder he doesn't know what I'm talking about. He's got a girl's name.
Phew. You're gone. You're out. You're gone. Where are you from, Mars or Venus? I mean, good Lord. You can't be from where any...
Where are you from?
Are you sure you're in a military academy?
Hey, what city are you from?
I'm from Tennessee, man.
Yeah, but what city?
Well, I live in Crossville, Tennessee.
Well, it says here Frank...
What's that got to do with anything?
It says here Frank City.
Frank City? Yeah, I'll bet you live in Frank City, as in Frankfurt.
Man, oh man.
You ought to come over to our military academy. We can smoke some good green and get the lowdown on you. I bet you're not so, you know, rat-assed as you sound. What do you say, Wendell? Come on over.
Oh, man.
Hey, Wendy,
well,
I got some canned peaches for you to
try. I'd like to be a mouse in the corner up there at that academy and listen to them other cadets laughing at you making you act sound like a fool, man.
You want to have a mouse in your what?
You need to get alive. You need to get alive.
You got to be kidding me.
Learn what life's all about.
I never heard a man say that he wants to have a gerbil.
Get back on the main track. You're on some sidetrack somewhere. Going off in Wonderland.
What are you talking about?
Fairy tales or something.
You know as well as I do that you don't like basketball down there in Frank City.
You're making it sound like you're the grace of that academy up there. You're a great disgrace to that academy up there. They're trying to teach people how to go to war and how to win war and how to
That's
how to
what I
want to
do,
country.
Wendell.
And
you, but you want to know something?
You're talking like that?
You asked me what planet I was from. I come from Earth, but I bet you come from Uranus.
What a stupid kid.
What'd you call me?
What did I call you?
Yeah.
I called you a stupid kid.
Yeah? You're real brave on a phone, aren't you?
Oh, don't. Give me a break, kid.
Yeah, I'm ripped. I lift.
Well, I do.
Yeah. I come from Earth, but I bet you come from...
Can't you say it? Or are you afraid of the FCC, the Federal Cookie Company?
What a brat. Ryan, go ahead.
Hello?
Ryan, yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. You say I'm on the air?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just think this guy is I think he's just having a cry for attention.
What?
It's obvious that if you were going into the military, if this is what our military has for a future, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble.
What's wrong?
Hey, look here, son. I'm a retired Marine, okay? And I have seen 6 foot, 7 foot young men in uniform holding their own. And I guarantee you one thing, you wouldn't last a day. I've not only put people in body bags, I've zipped up some of my buddies in body bags. And I played basketball.
You're just telling old war stories. I'm talking about the modern army. Hey, you're listening to yourself. On the 7 second delay.
Okay, let me ask you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, turn your radio down, sir, because we can't hear the delay.
Okay.
Kid, I want to ask this young man. Quit laughing, okay?
Why?
He's a disgrace. This guy, he's only on the phone with you right now, trying to get attention.
Wait a second. You want me to get in a foxhole?
And his disregard for basketball is something different. Is deeper than what he's saying on the air. You know, if you're on the air, trying to talk like a man, even though you have these childish anecdotes, you're trying to talk like a man. What is the real reason behind your dislike for basketball?
You want to
exactly
know what it is?
Who are you calling hooligans and criminals?
You know what I want to know what it is? I'll tell you. A lot of those people that play basketball are too tall.
You gotta be tall to play basketball.
Yeah? Well, you ain't 7'8".
I don't know what they're teaching you in that academy,
hey,
young man.
Who do you think the hooligans are? Allen Iverson and Jason Williams. Take a wild guess. Yeah.
I don't know what they're teaching you in that academy there, young man, but you're missing class.
Right now, when I'm ready to go over in country and make some trouble with the ragheads, I don't want to be in there fucking
right
with
now,
a free throw shooter.
I guarantee you right now, the first time somebody busts open an M970 or shoot a round over your head, you're going to crap your pants and go crying home to your mama. Because you're talking a lot of noise, you're making a lot of noise, but you ain't ready to do nothing.
You sound just like
you
know, Jim Brown.
Your idea of war is what you see on television and what you see in books and on movies. And, you know, if you play war games at the academy with your cap guns and whatever.
Hey, wait a second. You sound just like John Amos, the dad on Good Times.
What are you talking about?
Is this John Amos?
That's what I'm saying. And that's
what
the bottom line is come with when he's talking about basketball.
You mean, you mean race?
That's exactly. I don't want to go there. I'm waiting on him to say it. But every time he's talking about basketball, he's talking about metal-hard women, criminals, derelicts, and beanbows.
You called the guy
Lemon? Larry Bird, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. What can you say derogatory about Larry Bird?
He ain't never broken no law. And what do you mean, Lemon Meringue Lemon? God, you don't even know the name of the players. That's sad.
Metal Lark Lemon is what the man said. He didn't say Lemon Meringue Lemon. Listen, Ryan, thank you.
I'm not even going to waste my time.
I understand, sir.
I
thank you very much.
I swear to God, that's the dad from Good Times, and I know that...
Will you shut up? Dorothy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, hello there. Thank you.
Yes, Dorothy.
RC, I know you don't like...
What about Leona Helmsley?
I I know you don't like to talk to women, but maybe you'll listen to a few things.
I
have
like
a lot of years on you. I have a lot of experience with knowing about war and military, not in it, but as a military wife. Now, the point is...
Were you one of the Andrews sisters?
The military today depends largely on brain and not brawn. Wait,
Company B.
Hey,
will you shut this kid off, man, and put him on hold so I can hear the lady?
Listen,
boogie woogie bugle boy. Go ahead, ma'am.
What I'm trying to say is the military today, our military, is not a...
You know
it's
what,
not
kid...
a bunch of Neanderthals out there fighting hand to hand. Our military depends more on brains than brawn. It takes more education than it takes physicality. You can be a
very
small, weak person and still be an incredible military person.
Yeah.
I don't know where you got your ideas. You're much too young to have formed these ideas yourself. You've been listening to the wrong people. And the fact is, you may have, your heart may be in the right place and wanting to defend our country. But the fact is...
Wait a minute, what is this?
Taps.
Sounds
why?
Like taps to
why
me.
Are you playing taps?
For the depth of your show. This lady just killed it. Yeah,
military
it was a great radio show until he put Dorothy on the air.
Okay, kid, I'm going to hang up. But turn that taps off.
Quit blowing, Eddie. Take your lips off it. Yes, ma'am.
Dorothy, I'm hearing you, ma'am, and I think you're making some very good points. And I think...
Here lies Phil Hendry's show.
That's it.
All right, you know what, Dorothy, I'm sorry.
It was a great radio show, but... Eddie had to put that on. Hold your lips off it, Bob. Back on. Off. On. Off, off, off.
Hang up on him. Playing taps for the death of my show. R.C. Collins on why basketball feminizes people. When that guy's hormones finally kick in, give me a freaking call. Feminizes him? If that's the case, man, I'd get out of those basketball shorts. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous...
Great show as always, Mr. Hendry!
Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Rudy Canoza joins us from Jetam, which is his lingerie store in on Ventura Boulevard. All right, you're originally from South America, but you talk to your customers about this immigrant issue vis-a-vis President Bush and President Fox, that President Bush is going to legitimize
yes.
the migrants
that is correct
in the United States.
And, you know, I lost the sale the other day, Philly, in my store because a woman I was helping made a statement. We were talking politics, and I like to talk politics, especially with women, because they are sometimes so delightfully innocent. And she said, the Mexican people should be grateful to America because Americans have built such a wealthy country. And I should not have done it, but I couldn't help myself. I burst out laughing.
As, you started laughing.
Yes, that's such a stupid and naive statement. But as an immigrant businessman, I feel it's my duty to help educate people. As Vincente Fox has finally educated this guy Bush.
Why did you laugh, and what did you mean Fox educated Bush?
Well, it's not difficult to see. America is a wealthy country today because of the millions of Mexican immigrants who work here. But the Mexicans are better off because of America. The Mexican worker, it's not the Mexicans who are better off. The Mexican worker comes here. Takes care of the baby that the white woman doesn't want to take care of. Cleans the home that the white woman does not know how to clean. Picks the vegetables for the white farmer who does not have a clue as to how to pick a vegetable or harvest.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that immigrants have been a very big part of America, sure.
Well, that's something else that I want to mention. You say immigrants. This misnomer that Italian immigrants, Irish immigrants, Russian immigrants had an equal hand in building America, which I'm glad to educate you is not true. The Mexican immigrant has been the single most important immigrant in America. He has done more work, all kinds of work, than any other immigrant. Let's remember that Mexico knows America very well, since a very large portion of it used to be Mexico.
All right. Okay, we can argue this, Rudy. You know, you're telling a woman, you burst out laughing at a woman in your store today when she said that the Mexican workers here should be grateful they're in America.
Well, I did. I should not have done it. It's not professional. But I couldn't help but laugh at this woman who says, you know, like so many of the women who come to my store, oh, the Mexican is. I laughed at her. I said, you are. And I'm thinking to myself, she's very beautiful. She's a young lady who comes to my store a lot. But I'm thinking, wait, you're kind of stupid. It's a stupid little cow to say this, because she's
a stupid cow?
Well, she's, look, I love to look at the women and to laugh with them and to talk business with them. And they come out with the lingerie, and I'll say, you look lovely. And you know, there's a Latin, kind of a Latin habit the men have when they say a beautiful woman. They'll say, la, 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 you know, to let her know she's beautiful. And so this is the level that I speak to the women on. But when they begin to tell me about Mexican politics, or if they try to tell me about Latin American politics, especially when it has to do with the immigrant situation, I have to laugh at this. I have to laugh. She's like a cow, you know. She's like a...
All right. In your country, you may refer to women as pigs and cows, right?
Well, no. You are not understanding the context.
Well, it's hard for me to hear you say that the woman was like a stupid pig, and not think it's negative.
It's not negative from the standpoint. We use it in a completely different context.
All right. So I'm not understanding it in terms of culture.
Not understanding in terms of culture, not understanding in terms of the grasp of the situation. It's not to say this is a bad person, but her grasp of a political conversation that we were having was as good as a cow might have. But it's not to say she's stupid, but she does not have a grasp of the situation.
All right, so the women come into your store and you... But let's get on to the broader picture of the issue of immigration. You're saying that Vicente Fox talked to Bush and set him straight.
I think it was just a matter of saying to Bush, look, let me explain to you the Mexican immigrant. You take him out of the mix in America, you don't have a country. You know, Vicente Fox is a good deal taller than Bush, and you can well imagine what happened. He probably walked up to Bush when they were finally meeting. Most probably put a finger in his chest and said, in no uncertain terms, this is the president of Mexico talking. You are going to legitimize the millions of Mexicans currently in America, or you're going to suffer the consequence of an open border, which no American wants.
And an American border being that we're just virtually, we cannot check the immigration.
We'll not be able to check the immigration. It's just a matter of saying the word, if you will. It's not that Vicente Fox would do that, but all you have to say is, you know what, we did our best, the Americans... And again, this is the context I use. The Americans are like pigs. They're like cows. They don't understand. And the border becomes open.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You really think that Vicente Fox put his finger in President Bush's chest and said, this is how it's going
to
be?
I think that President Bush had no choice but to accept Vicente Fox's demand.
Well, it's hard to imagine you believing that America's success is entirely due to the Mexican immigrant, though. We have had hundreds of years... Well, let me finish here for a minute. Hundreds of years of a variety of different immigrants. I know you said the Mexican immigrant is the most important. We have had native-born people...
Let me tell you, sir. Can I interrupt? I see these women every day coming into my shop to buy some piece of lingerie. And while there is a baby at home crying... Here is this cow trying on the lingerie.
And for the benefit of our audience, when you say cow, you mean she doesn't have a grasp of politics?
No, it's not to say she's a bad woman.
No, I know that, but when you say a woman is a cow...
She has the grasp, the political grasp of the cow, yes. So this cow is in my store to buy her lingerie, to buy some garter belt to wear for... A boyfriend or a man, maybe a boyfriend, even though she's married to another man. I don't know what the cow wants to do, but she's in my home, she's in my store, and at home is her baby crying for its milk. Unless there is a nanny there, and that is a Mexican nanny taking care of the cow's child. I see this every day in my store. It is difficult for me, Phil, because I love my customers, but sometimes I can't help but think of them as these pigs who let the Mexicans pick the celery and the tomatoes and the cucumbers that they will have them that they will then have their Mexican cook up for them after the Mexican cleaning woman clean their house and the Mexican nanny picked the child up from school. Well, the pig, this cow is here trying on her garter belt for the filth that she will engage in later on.
What do you mean filth?
Well, I don't mean that, but her sexual practices, which are none of my business. But and again, these women that come out to the store, la 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 la, to let them know that they are attractive, even though in my mind, many of them are cows for what they do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Rudy Canoza, who owns Le Jetem Lingerie in Sherman Oaks. You're calling America, basically what you're saying is America is nowhere without the Mexican immigrant because they do so much of our work.
Yeah, people, they do so much of the work. They do almost all of the vital farm work is done by Mexican immigrants. All of these service work in the restaurants is done by Mexican immigrants. All of the where they work for a day with labor is done by Mexican immigrants. In the horse racing industries, so much is done by Mexicans. It's just funny to hear American women think that it is the Americans who helped the Mexicans, when it is the Mexicans who built this country, who taught American women how to be a mother, who taught with them.
That is, to me, is hyperbole.
No, they taught American women how to be. They taught the American farmer how to recognize a vegetable. You have American farmers who are walking through the out there looking at what is this, celery or what? You know, and so the Mexican has to tell him.
This is hyperbole. You're telling the American farmers wouldn't know celery?
They have a Mexican to say, how come you see? Jose, what is this? Senor, that is a radish. Thank you. These pigs don't know what they... So Bush, again, knew what he had to do. Sit down with the president of Mexico. Keep his mouth shut. And let Vicente Fox say to him, you, little man... You will.
I don't think one leader of a country talks to another that way.
I'm speaking figuratively.
Okay.
But you will open the borders. You will let the Mexican in. Or there will be an open border.
All right. That's the story from at least one immigrant businessman, Rudy Canoza, operating Jetem here on Ventura Boulevard. Bush has allowed the legitimization of Mexican immigrants because he had no choice. He was told he had to by Fox, and frankly, America wouldn't be anything. Americans wouldn't know how to pick vegetables or take care of their own kids were it not for Mexican immigrants. 1-800-449-8686 to weigh in tonight on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Excuse me, I'm coughing. It's really not a cold; it's an allergy. Anyway, Rudy Canoza is with me. You've been dealing with this cold, Rudy?
You know, we had it around the store, and some of the people that work for me have had it. I've always had the problems with allergies, but I think the worst is over for us.
All right, we're talking about the immigrant issue. As it was discussed by President Fox and President Bush, you're an immigrant yourself, Mr. Canoza. You feel that the Mexican immigrant does such vital work here in America that Fox pretty much dictated to Bush what was going to happen.
Absolutely, yes. Because Bush is going to have to know which side, to use the term that you use a lot, which side of the bread the butter is on. The Mexicans are here to stay. You will never get the Mexican out. He's doing the work today that Americans... In a pig-like way, will not do. The cow that comes to my store, the way that...
The American woman referred to as a cow...
This is not negative. What I'm saying again, Philly, she is not educated politically. If an American woman tries to speak politics with me, Rudy must laugh. I look at her and she says, Rudy, I want to speak politics. I will look at her and I say, you are too beautiful to speak politics. And I will go, la, 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 la. And I say, put on the lingerie. And just be the cow that you are, because you know you have a child at home that a Mexican is taking care of. You know you're going to feed a salad tonight to your husband that a Mexican picked. You know that perhaps your daughter will come home tonight after a Mexican has had his hands on your daughter. You don't know. Be a cow. But if you must be a cow that recognizes which pasture you are in. And this is the point that Rudy makes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vincente Fox told Bush, open up the borders, let the Mexicans in, and Bush has no choice but to say yes. Here is George. George, go ahead. You're on the line with Rudy Canoza.
Rudy Canoza?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm from Pennsylvania. Where do you get off calling the American woman a cow?
But it's
and
not
a negative.
Pigs?
Hold it.
It's not the negative. It is a positive. It is a positive.
Now, just a minute. I'm a little older than you. I'm a veteran out of World War II. So don't set that stuff in the American tone.
Mexicans
also, don't you down
we are
the
lovers.
President.
We are lovers. We are not
You
fighters.
Are lovers. That's exactly. Well, why don't you go back to Mexico and while all them cows and pigs down there?
I would love to do that, but the American people need their help.
Why don't
they need
you
Mexicans.
Do it?
No, we can't. If we leave, you won't know what to do. Americans
yes,
do not
you
know
can.
What to
yes,
do without the
can.
Mexican. No.
Listen,
you
Rudy,
cannot.
Listen to me. You listen
cannot.
To me. Yes.
The American
listen.
Doesn't know what to do without the Mexican taking
you
care
are,
of their child.
Where the hell what planet did you come off of? What planet did you come off of?
I come from the planet Earth, the same
yeah,
one I presume you come from.
What Earth? You mean the
well, what
dirt
planet
Earth
are you
south?
From? You are an old man.
I'm an old man. Hey,
time
Sonny.
Is passing you by.
Listen.
The American woman is a pig, not because she is fat, but because she does not know how to raise her baby without the
you
Mexican
are
man.
Out of your mind.
And the Mexican...
You are out of your mind.
Do you eat lettuce?
Hey, listen.
Do you eat
I
lettuce?
I eat lettuce and I plant
right.
it and I've done everything
no,
with
no,
it.
No.
Let
You've
me
been
tell you something,
by the
my
iceberg
friend.
Lettuce and the Romaine
let,
lettuce.
Will you let somebody else say
yeah,
something
Rudy, go
change?
Ahead. Let George talk, Rudy, and then we'll hear your comment.
But the man's not made any sense.
What do you mean I haven't made any sense?
You've been blathering on like an old
what
man.
What do you mean? You're the guy who keeps blathering.
I think you had a brain. Problem there
the brain?
In the world
bubblehead?
War II. Did you get
I have a college degree. What do you have?
Did you get shot in the head by
what?
A German
what are you,
in World
yeah.
War II?
I wish you would come in here over to Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'd shoot you in the head.
You,
I'd work you over in the ring, my dear friend.
You are like a pig. You can't talk. You
pig,
must threaten. You must threaten people.
All right, look, is anybody here?
Come here in 1890.
Hold on. This is Phil. You guys have got to start making sense or we got to move on here. You're both threatening each other.
This pig is going up and saying
to me,
hold on. Go ahead,
the
George.
American that made this country was a European white American, for your information, and you can you can bank on
it's
that, and you
true.
Can talk to Michael Savage about that,
that is
and
a lie
he'll
that you,
tell you
that's a lie.
Who built this country.
Michael Savage would put his own people in a boxcar to Auschwitz. You know
look,
that as well as I do.
That's
now,
the way you people should come
oh
into this country in a boxcar.
I believe that Michael Savage would have put his own people in a boxcar to Auschwitz.
Listen.
But, George, if it wasn't for the Mexican, you would not know the difference between Surrey
hey,
and a branch
I don't
of a fir
tree. Here. I don't see many of them here in Pennsylvania.
You would be brushing your teeth with
oh,
a fir tree branch were it not for the
brushing
Mexican.
Brushing my teeth.
All right, hold on. Can we agree on this,
hey,
gentlemen?
Look, the good
can we agree on this?
The good Mexicans don't want people
can
like
we,
you.
Can we agree on this, that the Mexican does, Mexican immigrant picks lettuce?
Well, George doesn't believe it because he reads fairy tales. He thinks people,
I got news for you.
He does
I
not even
lettuce.
Read a newspaper.
I picked lettuce. I worked in cesspools. Did you ever work in a cesspool?
If it's a good job for you.
Oh, it's no, a good I, job for you.
Yeah, okay, look. All right, thanks a lot.
You are nothing but a pig. You see, a pig
yeah.
who talks about the Mexican.
Hey.
If you were in front of me right now, hey. I would slap your face.
You'd slap
you
my
lie.
Face. You could try, my friend.
My friend...
You
I would
could
slap
cry.
You for insulting the Mexican people the way you...
No, wait a minute, Rudy. You've insulted the American people. The women are cows. The women are pigs. They can't take care of their babies. You know...
The Mexican today is in America taking care of the American baby. And do you know why? Because the pig is in my store trying on my lingerie.
Hey.
George, do you have children?
Yes, I have five of them.
Who raised them?
Yeah? Who? My wife. My
okay.
wife raised me.
That's
and
a
I
lie.
And I come from a family of 12.
That's a lie.
Yeah. It's a
don't
lie.
Call
it's
the man a
liar.
You don't know whether he's lying.
My grandfather come from Europe. He had
Europe.
11 children of his own. Don't you
today,
tell me
Mexican
I'm a liar.
Today, the Mexican immigrant runs everything. The Russian immigrant, he does not know a thing.
Look, my
he's a fool.
European
All right,
immigrant.
George, thank you. I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Gina, because Gina's of Hispanic ancestry. Correct, Gina?
Yes, that's correct.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
First of all, I want to tell you that I'm very educated, articulate, and I'm calling, and I have a lot of respect.
Of course,
so
you're
I would
a Latin
appreciate,
woman.
I would appreciate being shown the same respect by being allowed to speak my opinion and my piece and not being interrupted the way the gentleman prior to me was interrupted. And
of course, I would love to
free,
let you,
okay?
because you're a Mexican
Thank
woman,
you.
I will let you.
Thank you. Please
well,
show me the same respect, okay, please?
Of course I will.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, people don't always agree, but people don't always have to agree, okay?
Right, good point. Can I ask the caller, though? I want to ask Rudy, what is that foghorn?
That is, it's like a door chime here in the store when they... We've had to have some customers come in. I'm sorry.
All right. Go ahead, Gina.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, I am of Mexican heritage. My ancestors on my father's side. My ancestors on my father's side are all of Hispanic heritage.
Is this going to take
on my
long,
mother's
Gina?
Side. Yes.
Would you continue, Gina? Go ahead. Please, Rudy.
I didn't know if she was going to start giving a resume. I want to speak politics, okay?
Okay.
You know,
so,
My thought,
you know, I don't believe for one minute,
Gina,
that
you're not a pig because you're Mexican. You are beautiful. And
I do not believe for one minute that the American people would not be where they are if it was not for the Mexican person. I was not raised by a babysitter. I was not grown up being taught that you need to be raised by Mexican people. I've learned everything I've learned through American people. My father fought in the war here. My brothers served in the war here. I don't believe for one minute that President Bush was ordered to do what he did.
But you know,
Gina, I'm not in love. I'm not in love with President Bush.
But you know, Gina, that Vicente Fox is a man. He's macho. He's most macho. And he says to him, listen, you little PC, I would have loved to have been there. Do you know the difference between celery and a fir tree branch? Yes, you do. You know why? Because you're Mexican.
I did not call.
All right, hold on, Gina. I got to take a break here. 1-800, I'm awfully sorry to the caller, but I got a break. 1-800-449.
Let me tell you about...
Shut up, please, sir. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Rudy Canoza talking about Vicente Fox ordering President Bush to legitimize Mexican immigrants in America. True or false? The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up on our show, Justin McElroy, who is a high school senior, writes for his high school newspaper. He got his article banned from the student paper. It was called, well, the article's called Just Be a Mom, Not a Piece of Ass. It's a really controversial thing for a high school student to write. Right now we have Rudy Canoza on the line with us from Los Angeles. He is talking with us about the Mexican immigrant status in this country being the product of a, basically, Vicente Fox telling Bush this is how it's going to be, and that the American people would be nowhere as a country without Mexican immigrants. And thank you, Rudy, for hanging on.
And the other point I want to make, Phil, is you asked me about these the door chime here at our store here. As you tell them, we have a joke that we play on some of our customers that they come. The women are a little bit heavy. We will play this foghorn to let our staff know, you know, this is a lady going to need some extra help. That's all. So when you hear that, please... forgive me.
So you're hitting a foghorn for overweight customers?
Yes, it's a joke as a way of saying, and here comes a lady. Yes. Over to the second aisle. Yes. It's a way to say to them, you know, welcome, and you're going to need, we will give you extra assistance.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Roxanne, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Rudy Canoza. Roxanne?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm wondering, you said that America owes all of its wealth and everything to the Mexican immigrant.
Yes, of course.
Why haven't the Mexicans been able to make their own country a first world nation?
Well, we have, because America is part of Mexico in a way. If you look at California,
okay,
if you
but
look
the part
at Texas,
that's not Mexico, the part that's not Mexico
is
a third world country.
The fifth largest economy in the world is California. This has been made by the Mexican people.
Well, what about Mexico?
So Mexico is doing great, but it needs to have more.
Then why are the people coming here?
Because there's lots of money to be made.
Why aren't they making money in Mexico?
Well, because this is the place to be.
Because Vicente Fox isn't offering economic opportunity.
Well, the point is, Roxanne, if you knew how to take care of your children, we wouldn't have to be here.
But
and as long as we're here, we can take care of the children that the American women don't know how to take care of. We can mow the lawns they don't know how to mow. We can... And pick the fruit that they don't know how to pick. The American people are wonderful people, but bright they ain't. And the thing...
Well, to say that we're stupid...
Well, I'm not saying that Americans are stupid, but they need help. If you have to go down to Mexico to find someone to take care of your child because the pig is here picking out lingerie for some disgusting sexual act that she will do with perhaps a man who is her husband, perhaps a man who is not, then I would say the cow needs to be enlightened. Until the Mexican came to America, the farmer thought the American mother didn't know her nipple was for to feed the baby. She thought it was for something for the man to play with.
Oh, that is absurd.
But if you think about it, why are there so many Mexicans taking care of American children? The American women don't know. And thank God that the people... Look at that. Look at that. See that?
Now, every time I hear that foghorn, there's a fat woman coming in the store?
Yes, sir. It's a joke we play around this time. Look at that. Because of the time, this time of year, so much food people are eating.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Francisco, go ahead.
Yes.
You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'd like to speak with Rudy, please. Hey, Rudy.
Yes, sir.
I think, you know, I'm a Mexican, but I think you're an idiot. You know why? Because the way you speak.
Oh, really?
You know, you went to college, right?
Yes, I went to school. Did you?
Okay, why don't you have a good education and let the older man, when he was speaking to you...
Listen to me.
I'm talking to an idiot. I don't have to listen to you.
But you know, I am more educated than you, my friend. I know this country better than you.
Will you let me talk?
I have kicked
ass. Let
Francisco talk, and then you can.
Let me talk.
But this man picked
And then
me.
You talk.
You're a lettuce
let
picker.
Me
you're
talk.
Going to
talk. Let
you
let
talk.
Me talk first, and then you talk.
Go ahead,
okay?
sir. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I think you're an idiot. You know why? You know why?
Are you letting me talk now?
You say the American ladies, the American women, they don't know how to raise their kids.
That's correct.
Women, because my wife, she's American, and she knows how to raise my kids. They're 20 years old right now.
Because she's married to a Mexican who will have no other. You will not stand for a woman who will not know how to raise a child.
You know what? You wrong, man. You wrong. I didn't know so many things.
The Mexican man.
Will you listen to me, man?
No, but the reason why your woman knows how to take care of your child is because the Mexican man, he demands that the woman knows how to take care of the child. The American man, he does not demand that. He says, go get the Mexican. She will feed the baby. She will wipe the turd from the baby's pant area.
Okay.
She will, you know.
Hey, now let me talk. You talk, now I talk. Okay.
Go ahead, Francisco.
You saying that the American women, they're cows, they don't... You know what? The American women, they are well educated. Most of them, they're so nice. You should be grateful to live in L.A.
I want to interrupt.
Why?
Francisco, I want to interrupt. Is that many fat women coming into your store?
Right now, we've got to run, yeah. It's 8:30. We're closing at 9 o'clock.
Because every time I hear that foghorn, it's a fat woman coming in the store.
Yes, sir. I'm awfully sorry.
Will you shut the hell up, man?
Hey, listen,
polite,
you pick celery for
you're
a living. You don't
radio.
Tell a business
you,
owner what
you,
to do.
You're in the radio. Be polite.
You're the Mexican man.
You're an idiot, man. You know the Mexican, they come here.
To the pig's nipples.
You know what? You know what I hate about the Mexican that they come here, the women? You know what I hate? They go to welfare. They come here, they get pregnant, they got so many kids, they go to welfare.
You're talking about your wife, not mine.
Women,
all right, thanks. He sounds like a self-hating Mexican, huh?
Oh, you find a lot of these self-hating Mexicans. They want to come here. The first thing they want to do is to get rid of the cowboy hat and the cowboy boot. They want to begin to dance to this this filth, and Madonna, who's nothing more than a cow. Then they don't, because I remember when I grew up, and they run so grande, you know, the concertina, the mariachi.
Well, I'm a great, I love Mexico.
You're a cow that goes there to drink the tequila.
Don't call me a cow. I go down there because I appreciate that country. Here is Christy. Go ahead. Christy, go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Yes, hi.
I'm a first-time caller, Phil, but I had to take this opportunity. I've raised my own children. All of my friends have raised their own children.
Are you Mexican? I have not known
one person who has ever had a Mexican immigrant raising their children for them quite successfully.
Are you Mexican?
No.
And
I'm
you've
not.
Raised, and you have
I've
raised...
had no Mexicans raising my family.
Do
and
you
let
have
me tell
Mexican?
You something. I just spent about 2 weeks down in Mexico at Christmas time, and I saw how your kids are raised in Mexico, and really
come to Mexico
poor.
To put down
we
our
were
people,
building houses,
but you don't mind
charity.
Going down there. Too.
We were feeding your children. We were these kids that are raised so well by Mexican women and Mexican parents. were starving. They had no clothes. They had
no food. Because
the
American government has cut them off from food. It is the Americans' fault that my children starve.
Wait a second. How do you figure that?
Because America
had got
good...
We had to smuggle, by the way, because your government is so corrupt.
I am a true Latin man. I wear black... Oh, you think that's funny, huh?
Why I think you need to wear the cowbell.
You know something? Why do the cows love me when they come in to try on the lingerie? Because they know that I'm a gentleman.
And well, they wouldn't know it if they knew you were calling...
I wouldn't know it at all. I would say that you're a pig.
Christy,
a chauvinistic pig.
If you met me and we were able to have some one-on-one, you would recognize that I have a knowledge of the world that far surpasses any man you have ever known. And I would look at you and I would say, la la, which is my way of saying you're lovely.
You wouldn't get the chance.
Really?
Yeah.
If a man looks at you and he says, Christy, you don't think that that...
Well, sir, what we're talking about now is politics, not whether a woman's attractive or not.
All right.
I have a problem. Let me tell you something. If you have been totally oblivious to what our president has been doing, you would see that he is not going to be a coward to any tyrant, whether it's Fox, whether it's Saddam Hussein, whether it's any world tyrant. And Fox is a tyrant to his own country.
Well, I happen to agree with what Christie said.
How dare you?
Oh, it's dead
speak
on.
Of my country.
No, that's absolutely what's
but
wrong.
Bush,
the Mexican
Bush is
people...
not going to He's not going to be a coward to your world leader.
George Bush was told by Vicente Fox in no uncertain terms he will open the border.
I don't care what he was told.
Your cows need to have our nanny. I am a true Latin man. I wear black boots, the tight pants.
Good for you.
And you're not impressed.
I'm
you're not
happy
impressed.
For you. You
what
ought
if
to go
I
down
said
to you ought to go spend some time in Cali, Mexico, and why don't you donate your black boots to some kid who doesn't have any?
I don't give up my heritage like so many Mexicans who come to this country
well,
to get rid of their cowboy hat.
These are the children that you're telling us that are raised so well.
Christy, I would show you how to make your breasts dance.
Will you shut your mouth?
You're a pig.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
And because you can't argue what you're trying to argue, you can't argue intelligently with me about this because you have no defense.
I have. I've told you. And
all you've
been able to do is insult my country. You insult my country. I've told you all of my
reasons. I'm not insulting your country.
Yes, you say that we starve our children.
I'm sorry for the people that live in your country.
You say we starve our children, and yet we come to America to take care of your filthy brats. Okay?
No,
and we come to your country.
My children are not filthy. My children are just fine.
You're
rats you need to
who
get
go
a
out
clue.
And rape their own teachers and stick-up men in liquor stores and these kinds of things, American children.
And meanwhile, you got a foghorn going off because every fat woman that comes to the store has got to be humiliated.
It's fun. I'm having some fun.
I'm sorry.
Jesus.
I don't buy the foghorn thing personally, Phil. But
well, I wear a green cummerbund, an open pirate shirt.
Serious issues.
Well, you know, Christy, let me just say to you, blue. Now that
yeah,
is
yeah, that's real sexy, man.
Why don't you get a better education next time you want to come on a show, a talk show, so that you can really discuss the issues?
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Phi Beta Kappas are on radio talk shows? Phil, you get that one?
Oh, so in other words, we're all idiots.
No, you're not idiots. This is not the McLaughlin Group, though. I've come on your program. And what, am I going to have a master's degree to talk on this stupid show?
And instead of talking to me in a sexual undertone and talk to me about the issues, you're saying that we can't raise our kids.
Will you turn that foghorn off?
I was just down in Mexico at Christmas time building houses for those kids who didn't have a home.
Well, Christy, let me be the first to say then, punch the ticket on your way out. The Padre will get you to heaven. Aren't you just a good little girl? Jesus. There's another fat pig into my store, and I'm supposed to kiss your ass.
You don't
eat my ass. All right, look, I gotta go.
I did it for kids, not for anybody like you.
Look at that, one fat slob after another coming into my store.
You sound like one of them.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Look at that, one after the other. Fat. And do you think anybody gives a sweet holy Jesus? Look at that.
All right, come on, man.
I can't do anything about it.
Donita, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to let him know that he is the poorest representative of his nationality I have ever heard in my life.
Are you Mexican?
I'm American. My husband is from Mexico. My children are both Mexican American.
See,
my daughter is more intelligent than you. She's bilingual at 2 years old, and she's a better representative of her nationality.
Do you speak Spanish, Mr. Canosa?
Yes, no, I do.
Not you, Danita. Do you, Mr. Canosa?
No, I don't.
Why?
Oh, my God.
I forgot.
You forgot?
I have been speaking Spanish for 3 years because I chose to, not from my husband, but from other people.
But
from the dictionaries and everything else.
Yes,
and you're telling me
of course
that I'm a better representative of your culture than
no,
you are?
No, you speak Spanish so you can order around the Mexican pool boy and the gardeners. That's
no,
why
no,
you speak.
First of all, I have 15 acres with a boarding business. I'm the one outside cleaning stalls. I'm the one out mowing the lawn while my husband works.
Well, you,
so we can pay for our home.
Get the foghorn. See, these foghorns are driving me nuts. Anita.
I'm sorry.
Turn it off, please. God.
Okay, you want Spanish? No quiero Taco Bell. There, you happy? Good, sweet God. You know, Donita, your daughter is learning to speak Spanish so that when she is older and she becomes an American cow, she can tell all the Mexicans where to put the potted palm and how
now,
much fertilizer to put.
She's bilingual? You know why she's bilingual? And the same with my
8-year-old
son.
Because you forced her to be.
No, I don't. My daughter loves speaking Spanish, and she's going to have a lot more opportunities in this world than even somebody that claims to be Mexican like you.
Look, you know the only Mexican your daughter will need to know is dos más tequila.
No, the only important Mexican that she needs to know is her familia, como su papá y su mamá y su abuelas también. Nada como tú.
Hey.
You know what? I think you are.
Okay, now hold on with that.
I think you are actually intelligent. I think you have a degree in ignorancy.
When your husband comes home from work, does he say, Donita, I'm home, just like Ricky Ricardo? That's what I say I hate about life.
And first of all, you dumbass, Ricky Ricardo was not from Mexico.
I know, but it's the same thing.
I know, but
they take you white women.
I forgot all you Hispanics look the same, right? And all you Negroes, right? That's
you know,
ignorant.
Donita, if you knew what was right for your daughter, you would teach her how to be a
nanny.
You would teach her how to be a nanny than teach the pig to put the baby to the nipple.
No, you wouldn't. I would teach her to whoop people's butt like you.
The only Mexican Spanish your daughter will ever need to know is dos tequila, mas sin salte, and not, you know, like, and you have the chimichanga today. Jesus! Why am I the only...
Okay, would you knock it up? Donita, thank you.
You are so welcome.
You know, bilingual is terrific for kids, learning another language. And I told my daughter, I said, I'd like her to...
Can I go now?
Would you just shut up for a minute? I told my daughter I'd love her to learn Spanish. Mm-hmm. Living in California the way we do, especially. So I believe...
I'm sorry, it was another fat woman.
All right, thanks. Anyway, Donita, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We are into part two of our weekly feature, Guns and the Home. And you know there have been safety checks, safety devices that have put on the Smith & Wesson guns, or at least been promised by the company since settlement of a lawsuit. If you saw the newspaper today, you probably know that Smith & Wesson settled its lawsuit with safety changes. The nation's biggest maker of handguns, Smith & Wesson, agreed Friday to dozens of once unthinkable safety and marketing restrictions aimed at keeping firearms out of the hands of children. The settlement will involve trigger locks on handguns, grips too big and triggers too powerful for young kids to fire, a hidden second serial number to deter thefts, smart technology to allow only authorized users to fire a gun, safety warnings on packaging, no gun show sales without background checks on buyers. All right, so there it is, and we do open the phones up to your comments as we have for the last couple of days. What do you think about all of this? How will it affect you as a gun owner or a potential gun owner? All right, here is Alhambra on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yes. How do you feel about this, sir?
Yes. I'm a gun owner. I own a Glock 357, and I also have a 45 caliber, the Glock 29 series. And I read in the paper today where Glock is considering these safety checks and these safety procedures.
Yeah, I saw that. That's The manufacturer is Glock?
Yes.
Now, they're not part of this lawsuit, are they?
No, sir. No, they are not. And I have been on it. I have been a fairly loyal owner of Glock weapons for a few years. They have a light cast polymer, double action, and they're very easy weapons to handle. But I think that these safety recommendations are really the wrong thing to do, because I think they're going to compromise the integrity of the weapon. And they don't keep in mind, Mr. Henry, that they do not take into consideration older people such as myself. I suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, and many of these safety features will impede my ability to use a weapon. And
how so, sir?
Because of the
larger grip and
the larger grip, and also the difficulty in squeezing the trigger. And I ask myself, and I ask you, and I'm a United States Navy veteran, and I fought in the Korean War for this country, sir.
Yes, I'm right here.
Why do I get penalized because some idiot doesn't know how to take care of his weapon? If you make these guns idiot-proof, only idiots will own them. All right? You see?
If you make the guns idiot-proof, only idiots will own them. That sounds very good, but let me ask you something. How do you keep these weapons away from kids? How do you...
You know, this is an area that I've been hearing this for a long time. I have a 5-year-old grandson, and I think there are a lot of gun owners who are going to tell you the same thing, that if you are smart with a weapon, if you have a child in the house... And I'm going to tell you something that maybe a lot of people won't admit. All right?
Yes, sir.
When a child is in the house and there is a loaded weapon somewhere in the home, there is a little bit of an adrenaline rush, and it keeps you on your toes. And it allows you to focus. And
all right, wait a second. Do you have a grandson?
I have a 5-year-old grandson.
And he comes over to visit?
He comes over to visit, and...
Do you lock the weapons?
No, sir, I do not lock the weapons up. I have a loaded Glock 9mm that I keep in a holster under my desk. I have a loaded Glock 45 caliber that I keep loaded in one of the hall closets. And
you don't lock these weapons up or otherwise secure them when your 5-year-old grandson is there, but...
Hold on. I don't do it because... There is an adredolin factor.
What is the adredolin factor?
Please let me finish.
Well, I want to know. You say there's an adrenaline rush, knowing that there's a kid in the house, and...
Please let me finish, sir.
Go ahead.
Any gun owner will tell you there's something about having a small child in the house and having a loaded weapon in the house that is a little bit of an adrenaline rush. And
you know where your gun is, though, right?
You do, but sometimes you don't. You might move it, sometimes I'll move it. And the reason why I do this is...
Yeah, tell me why it is that you have a loaded gun with your 5-year-old son in the house, and you're not sure where it is?
Sometimes you do. The adrenaline rush keeps you sharp, keeps your senses focused, and I have to tell you, you can get addicted to this. Now, there's a downside and an upside.
Are you addicted to the adrenaline rush that you get from...
You have to understand. Are you a gun owner, Mr. Henry?
No, sir, I'm not.
All right, then you need to do a little less talking, a little more listening.
Yes, sir.
I feel that I can take better care of him because I'm on my toes. I don't know. Where's the gun? I don't know. I have a 5-year-old in the house. I have a loaded gun someplace. I can feel the adrenaline rushing through me, all right? And I'll tell you something right now. My grandson, I love very, very dearly. And I would never want anything to happen.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
So
I'm not saying that you would.
So I'm telling you, for me, one of the few thrills that I have left in life is to have him come visit. And yes, a little bit of an adrenaline rush. Have him in the home, and I know I have loaded guns. It's like one of those, if you've seen the new video games that the kids play.
But it sounds unsafe.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like a blast, you feel good.
You feel good knowing that you have a loaded weapon somewhere in the house, and a little boy is wandering through that house.
No, I don't feel, the boy is not going to get hurt. It's just a nice, juicy rush that cops get when they're on their way, when they're rolling to a crime scene.
I have never had a gun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't understand it.
Is that why so many loaded guns are kept around with kids around?
I don't know. I know I do it because it makes me focus. I can smell it. I can smell there's fear all over me because I don't want them to find the gun. And yet I do know where it is.
Well, if you know where it is, then why can't you just go into the closet and get it?
It's not just that. It's sometimes I'll take a trip to the store and I'll leave him there.
You purposely leave the child in the house with a loaded gun?
Just, you know...
To keep the senses focused.
Yes, sir. But that is something that only a gun owner would understand. My memory isn't the best anymore, and this helps it stay sharp. So I will think, where did I leave the loaded 45? Where? I said a prayer the other day. Dear God, help me remember where the 45 is. I know there's a 5-year-old child wandering through this house, and I will remember. And there's one other way that you could keep kids...
All right, hold on for a minute, okay?
I'm sorry?
Hold on for just a minute. I have to take a break. That guy's a Glock owner. This is part two of our Guns in the Home series. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You own a gun, Craig? I don't have one. Now, this guy claims that it keeps his mind sharp and his adrenaline up if he leaves a loaded weapon somewhere in the house with his 5-year-old grandson walking through the house, because he says it's like a cop rolling to a crime scene. It keeps his juice going. I don't know anything about it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is Guns in the Home Part 2. And then he leaves the house? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And your name is Lloyd, right, Lloyd?
Yes, sir. Lloyd Bonafide, Phil. I live in Alhambra, California. And I have a heating and plumbing business that I retired from. But I have one son and a grandson. And
well, when your son was growing up, is this how you basically treated the weapons in your house?
Well, you need to understand that as a gun owner and as a father... It is far better for me to keep... See, I'm a Navy veteran.
Yes, sir.
And so as a veteran, I have a certain... I live my life as if something bad is always going to happen. Let me put it that way.
Boy, that sounds like a... It doesn't sound like a good way to live. It sounds like it's a tough, tense way to live.
It's the only way to live, my brother. It's the only way to live if you want to get out of this thing with half of your rear end intact. And that's the God's truth. And the only way to keep your adrenaline up is to do what I call adrenaline testing, or to do these little things. I have my 5-year-old grandson. I love him very much. Yes, I have a loaded Glock 45. Somewhere in the house, I'm not sure.
And he's walking through that house.
Yes, he is. And it scares the living hell out of me, but it helps me keep shut.
Well, sir, you sound like you're crying.
Because I love my grandson.
Then why don't you look? All right, I don't...
You don't understand.
All right, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, okay? I'm just... Some of the things you're saying don't make sense. I'm going to check in with other parents, if you don't mind, okay?
Well, yes, sir. I'm a Navy veteran.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to check in with some other people. Oceanside, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. What is your name?
My name is Christina.
Christina, this is Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Lloyd.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Hello.
Hi. I'm a 37-year-old mother of a 14-month-old little boy.
Yes, ma'am.
And I've never been compelled to call into a talk radio show in my life. But I feel so compassionate that what you're doing is completely wrong. That little boy gets a hold of that gun. If you're there or if you're not there, And he blows... I don't even want to say it.
I mean,
he does something
this is,
with
it. I'll say it for you, ma'am. Don't you understand, Mr. Bonafide, that if this chap...
Ma'am, I would rather chew my own leg off than have anything happen
well,
to
maybe,
that child.
Lloyd,
I love
maybe
that
you
boy.
Should...
I love that boy very much.
Lloyd, well, with all due respect, maybe you should chew your leg off for your adrenaline rush. Walk through the ghetto for your adrenaline rush. Do not put that boy's life on the line.
No, because I'm a 68-year-old Navy veteran in the Korean War. Veterans
I don't
live
care.
Their life. Veterans live their life a certain way.
Find your kicks with another person with
you,
your own life.
Let me tell you, you're a young mother, right? You're a
I'm
young
a,
mother?
Yes.
Let me tell you how you want to keep your children away from guns. And there's only one sure way of doing it. You get yourself a Glock 357. You take the magazine out of it. You make sure there is no cartridge or shell in the loading chamber. You put that barrel up to that child's head.
Oh, my God.
You listen to me. I'm a father and a grandfather. Now listen to me. You put the barrel of that unloaded gun to that child's head, and you pull the trigger so he hears the distinct clicking sound. And
so you're scaring the hell out of the kid.
You are making me sick.
You had better believe you scare. And when you do that, that child will never. And he'll lose his water, and he'll soil himself.
Oh, you are psychologically screwing that kid up by doing that.
How do you know that? I'm a father and a grandfather.
I don't care. You're whacked, mister. You are.
Lady,
I'm sorry.
Lady... How many children have you got?
I have one little boy that I would never.
You're an expert, huh?
You're not putting a loaded gun to the kid's head.
No, sir. Let me tell you, so my boy turned out fine.
You have a son, and this is your grandson.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'll have to take your word on your boy turning out fine.
Well, I'll tell you what. You put the barrel of a weapon to a child's head. And I took my grandson, and I squeezed his head up against the barrel of my 357, and I said to him, you listen to this sound. And
oh
he heard
God.
The distinct metallic click, and he knew that Grandpa wasn't screwing around. What
so
do you think of them apples? What do you think of that?
What do I think of that?
Yeah.
Glad to hell that you're not my father, that's for damn sure.
And so you're going to go and soil yourself worrying about guns, is that it?
No,
well,
I'm going to do what I can to keep him away from my son. I'm not going to stick one up to his head.
And what are you going to do when he finds one at a neighbor's house or otherwise comes across a weapon that has not been secured by an adult? This is the last sound you hear before your head splats all over the pavement, is what I said to him. And then he heard the distinct metallic clang of the hammer.
Jeez, you know something, pal? It sounds to me like you're really in love with guns.
I think guns... Well, guess what, Mr. Henry? We fought a world war with them, and we kept the Nazis from taking over the world. So you better start loving guns, too.
I understand the necessity for guns and self-defense, but to leave one around the house, loaded...
For a
five-year-old to...
I didn't say to find, did I?
But you're getting some adrenaline kick. Isn't that right? You're getting
I'm getting a nice... It keeps me on edge. I live my life as if all hell is going to break loose at any moment. That's
Don't
the only
live
way.
In a shark tank, Lloyd. Get
lady,
your adrenaline rush another
lady,
way.
Lady, welcome to the world, lady.
Well...
It keeps you young.
I think we're in two different worlds, Lloyd.
All right, thanks for your call. Here is Albany on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment, hello to both of you.
Yes, sir.
I'm a father of three kids, and I also have weapons in the house. And to me, what this gentleman is saying, I'm all for the right to keep and bear arms.
Amen.
But what this gentleman is saying, in my opinion, is exactly why people need gun locks on things.
You put a gun lock on something and you want to fumble around with that with some turkey coming through the window of your house? Not me, not me.
I'd rather have that turkey blow me away than have my kid blow himself away.
And would you rather have the turkey blow you away and then your kid away? Yeah,
well,
you don't have an answer for that one. A lot of these guys don't have an answer
for
that
one. Sure,
I
do, but I'm willing to roll the dice that bets on my dog and my alarm system and things. Help me do that.
You sound like kind of a mild-mannered guy. Do you remember the movie Superman, what they said about Clark? What the hell was his name?
Hey, Lloyd.
Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Hey, Lloyd, can I
Clark
just
Kent.
Finish, though? Can
no,
I just finish, though?
You sound like the mild-mannered Clark Kent.
Okay, let me just
all right,
finish,
he may
though.
Be mild-mannered, but he's making a point about his home and his guns and everything.
I just want to finish,
all right,
Lloyd.
Okay, we got to get going, sir. Thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686, Los Angeles, on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Los Angeles, yes.
Yes, my name is Larry Mancias from L.A., and I was calling because...
What is that?
I was calling because what I think...
Who's that?
This is one of our callers.
Yeah.
Well,
uh-huh.
Yeah, what I think that this man is doing is basically leaving that gun out for the child to get a hold of, and I think that's very wrong.
Okay, Letty, would you hold the line because we got to go to a commercial break, all right?
Yes.
And your name's Letty?
Yes.
And your name is what, Lloyd?
My name is Lloyd Bonafide, Mr. Henry.
All right, hold on, please. Both of you. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Is the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Part two of Guns at Home. Couple of callers on the phone. Lloyd is in Alhambra and Letty in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Letty.
Yes. I was saying that, you know, I'm a single mother of five children, okay?
Am I on the air too, Mr. Henry?
Okay, can
yes.
you hear what I have to say?
Yeah, I want the gentleman to be quiet. We can hear you, sir, okay?
No, I just wanted
okay,
to know
I
if I was on the
that
air
that
too.
What you're doing is wrong
right.
because you're making the children think that it's okay to use guns in the home. And really, this caller that was once on the phone before, this female caller,
yes,
I
ma'am.
Agree with her totally because it's really wrong. I mean,
well, let me recap for you, for the listeners. Gentlemen, Lloyd, you keep a loaded gun in the house, even though you have your 5-year-old grandson around, because it keeps the adrenaline up.
It keeps me focused, and I'll give you look, I went to the store. And
you said you leave the boy there with a loaded gun.
No, sir. I drive around the block as exercise. And I'll tell you something. I pray to Jesus that I don't get home and find a dead 5-year-old.
Well, you know what?
Then
maybe
why
you should pray to Jesus that he can give you the faith that nothing will happen to you. You don't have to keep a loaded gun at home.
Well, ma'am, I don't have to keep a loaded gun. I live every day as if all hell is going to break loose.
Well, you know what? That's you and everybody else because I have a lot of tension and I have a lot of stress in my life, too. And I don't carry a loaded gun with me or leave it at home with any of my children.
How many guys, are you?
Either one of them can get a hold of it.
Well, you're a Latin, correct?
Excuse me?
Are you a Latina?
It doesn't matter what I am.
Well, the reason why I ask, ma'am, is I would imagine that you have many weapons.
No, I'm sorry,
but
I
hold
don't
on.
Know what
we're
my
not
weapon
gonna
is. My weapon is God.
We're not making that generalization, okay?
Oh,
thank
I get
you.
It. This is politically correct. The talk television,
but
huh?
But see, it doesn't matter what
we're
I
not
am.
On television.
We're not
we're
talking
on radio.
About racism here or,
no,
or anything
no,
like that.
No, ma'am. You're absolutely correct. But
okay.
I'm simply saying that, you know something? The other day, I went out. And I couldn't find my house because I'm 68 and I do forget things. And I couldn't find my goddamn house.
And that's why you carry a loaded gun. It's wrong. It's wrong that you're teaching these children the same thing.
Are you all right, Lloyd?
You know?
I keep a loaded weapon in the closet hoping the child won't find it.
Hoping the child won't find it. Then why
and you couldn't
you
find your house
out?
With the child at home?
I was driving around. I knew there was a gun in the house, but I didn't know which one.
Which house?
Yes. That's part of the hell of being a Korean War veteran, and that's part of the hell of living every day as if hell, all hell, like, oh, man, Pork Chop Hill.
But you know what the thing is that, you know,
What's your name, dear?
My name is Letty.
You sound like a very nice lady.
Thank you very much, and I think that I am. Because,
I don't want anything
you know,
to happen to my grandson.
Sir, nothing will happen to your grandson if you take the loaded gun
exactly.
out of the closet.
Exactly, because, you know...
So now all of a sudden you want to laugh at me.
Sir!
You know what? Because it's the truth what he's saying. I agree
yes,
with him totally.
Exactly.
Because every day in the news we hear about kids getting a hold of the guns. And where did they get them from? They get them from home.
I just don't
they
want...
They get them from their parents. They get them
I
from
I don't
they
want the son of a bitch who's operating the show to laugh at me.
Well, sir, I don't like being called a son of a bitch, if you don't mind. And I'm not laughing at you.
I distinctly heard it, sir.
You know what? Children
Why?
Are very smart. Sometimes they're even smarter than we are. Even though we think that they don't know things,
you put
they know
the barrel,
more.
You put the barrel of a Ruger up to a kid's head.
But see, why
and
would you do a thing like that?
A lot of times we'll clean the gun with a bullet in the chamber.
Why
because,
would you do a thing like that?
Because they tell you to clean a gun as if it's loaded. So I make sure it is loaded.
So you do that to the child?
No kid's smarter than me.
No kid is smarter
than
me.
Yes, there's kids that are smarter than
smarter than
nowadays,
me?
Yes, there
You're
is.
Telling me a five-year-old smarter than me. Boy, if you weren't a woman.
No.
What I wouldn't give.
You know
okay,
what?
Look, I got to take a break. Thank you, ma'am, for your call.
You're welcome.
You know something? It sounds to me like you are wound a little tight.
Of course I'm wound tight. Look at the world today. A cesspool of crime and violence. I keep my gun. I tell you what, I keep my wife close, but I keep my gun closer. Hello?
Yes, I'm right here. Wes Covina on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, this is Richard from Wes Covina.
Yes, Richard. How are you? Good evening. Welcome to our show.
Good. Listen.
Yes.
I'm 69 years old. I'm
how you doing, brother? I'm 68.
Why don't you shut up and listen, mister? I'm a Korean veteran, 16 years in the Marine Corps.
Sir, I spent...
Why don't you just listen?
Serviceman, I'll listen to you, but I don't like to talk to
you. Why don't you just listen?
Just listen to the man, okay? I guess you wanted to say, Lloyd, you're a veteran, too.
Yes, I am.
We know that.
Korean War.
Okay, we got it.
Why don't you listen? I'm a 16-year veteran of the Korean War and the Marine Corps. I have two Purple Hearts and a Silver Star.
The Korean War only lasted 3 years, my friend.
You didn't listen. I said a 16-year veteran of the Marine Corps.
You said of the Korean War.
He said the Marine Corps.
I don't know what this fellow's name is.
My name is Lloyd Bonafide.
Okay, then why don't you just listen, Lloyd?
I'm listening, but I used...
Quit interrupting.
Never mind. Just let the man finish.
Everything you said about the guns, I have guns. I'm an avid gun man. I'm a shooter. I have three grown children.
What
four
rank
grandchildren.
Were, what rank were you
What difference does it make? What difference does it make? A Marine is a Marine.
I was a chief petty officer.
I don't care if you were a chief swabby. Why don't you just listen?
The Corps, Mr. Henry, they got a hard-on for the Navy.
I understand all about it. Let the man talk.
This man needs, why don't you go to the veteran hospital? You need help, pal.
Oh, I got to go to the veterans hospital because I believe in the Constitution of keeping a gun around?
Well, then why don't you believe,
let this man
why don't you believe in a little courtesy and give me an opportunity to talk?
Very good point.
Okay? Why don't you extend a little courtesy?
I just feel I only have to listen if you outrank me.
Oh, come on, will you? Go ahead. I'm going to put him on hold. He's on hold. Go ahead, sir. He's on hold.
Everything this man has said,
yeah,
up until the point of owning guns, which is nice, it's a constitutional right.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that right.
Of course.
We all went to war. We used weapons for war, for protection of our country, of
other people's country,
of other people's rights.
Very true.
When we come home and I got out, I became a very good and strong owner of guns.
Mm-hmm.
I have three children, grown, mm-hmm. four grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of my children were taught how to handle
a gun. All right, now I want to jump in.
Wait, hold on. Wait a second, hold on.
I want to jump in and say something right now.
Wait a minute, I thought you were on hold.
I fought my way out of hold. See, that's the kind of soldier. I could fight my way off of a hold button.
Now you're a soldier. You went from a sailor to a soldier.
Let me tell you something.
What do you mean you fought your way out of hold? I had you on hold.
And I fought my way out.
Well.
Hey, Mike, are you screwing around with me? Put the guy on hold, will you please?
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
Let me continue.
I fought my way out of hold.
Let me continue, please.
Yes.
All my children were taught gun safety. They were taught, and I have had loaded guns in my house. I know where everyone's at.
Right.
They are under my attention, my wife's attention, and my grown children's attention.
Right.
My grandchildren were taken out to the range.
I got out of hold again.
They were taught gun safety. They were taught intelligently. This
I think,
man, when
yeah.
he says that he put a unloaded gun up to his child's head, five
right.
years old,
right.
and pulled the trigger, he lost me. The man is sick.
That's insanity, and that's the
exactly
you're
right.
calling me insane? So I just fought my way out of hold again.
Why don't he tell how he taught his child gun safety instead of gun fear?
Gun safety?
Yeah, gun safety, mister, is gun handling.
We clean the weapon with a bullet in the chamber.
Well,
you call
you know
that gun safety?
Mister,
because
you know
you're supposed
mister.
To.
Number one, I'm going to tell you this. I don't believe you were in this. I don't believe you were in any military service.
How dare you?
I don't
you?
Believe that you were in any military service. I don't believe that you were in Korea, and I don't believe that you are a sane.
I was honorably discharged
person.
At San
I think
Diego,
that you
California.
Need help.
I was
you
honorably
need
discharged.
Help.
Mister, I was honorably discharged
Mister,
at San Diego.
You need help.
In Seattle,
I don't care
Washington.
If you got the Congressional Medal of Honor. You need help.
I think putting a loaded...
I don't put a loaded gun.
Well, I'll tell you.
My daddy put a gun to my head. I did it to my son, and he does it to his.
Well, then, your whole family is bonkers.
Is nuts, okay?
You got that right.
And what do you think about me fighting my way out of the hole button?
Well, I don't think much of you fighting anything.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much. You made a very good point, sir.
Yeah, I fought my way off.
I want to talk to the talk show.
Yeah, I'm right here, sir.
I appreciate the fact that you've taken my call.
I appreciate your comments.
And I guarantee you that all gun
yes,
owners
sir.
In this country do not feel like this man does. All
right.
gun owners in this country do not teach their children gun safety.
Put me
as
on
this
hold one
did.
More time and see me
all
fight my way off the hold.
All people in this country don't put fear into their grandchildren.
I'm putting them on hold right now. Go ahead,
all people, all gun owners in this country are sane people. The people that get a hold of guns is because
yeah.
they have accessibility
I'm off the hold again.
To them because of people like this guy.
You're absolutely right. I agree.
And I thank you for the
thank
time.
You very much, sir, for your call. What is with this guy fighting his way off a hold?
There, I did it again.
Hang up on the guy then. Fighting his way off a hold. When you take an empty gun and you put it to a kid's head and you click the hammer to
scare the crap out of him.
To scare the crap... Not to scare... Yeah, to scare the crap out of him.
I'm getting faster fighting my way off a hold, aren't I?
To scare the crap out of him, you do need a doctor. That's one man's opinion. I'm Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8668.